I'd die. I was a goner. And the thought of doing anything that could have put your life in danger scares the shit out of me. It scares me, too. Hell, I almost peed on myself when I tried to wake him and he went apeshit like that. But I don't want to lose him over this. You shouldn't have to keep suffering over something that happened so long ago, I say. But I do. Every day. Every night. And I'll suffer a lot more if anything happens to you. Nothing's going to happen. I'll just be more careful if I try to wake you up next time. The way he shifts his gaze, I can tell what he's thinking, that maybe there shouldn't be a next time. It saddens me. You want to talk about the nightmare? I ask. He takes a moment before he speaks. I wonder if he's going to tell me, but then he says, "My squad was ambushed in Fallujah. It was right after we arrived. It was eerily quiet when we first got there. Not a lot of action. But then as we got farther into the city, that's when the guns came out and made me and my team scatter. Me, Caleb, and another guy ended up going into one building that had an explosive device. The one that took my foot. Crazy thing was, when it happened, I didn't even realize I'd lost it. Just thought it'd been injured in the blast. An insurgent came in, and I wrestled him to keep us alive. Stabbed him with my combat knife, to death. Then our guys found us and rescued us. Took us to the medics. That's when they told me that it wasn't just an injury. My whole foot was gone, and some of my leg was shredded, and they knew it couldn't be saved. One of the other guys we were with lost an arm. We were sent back home. Caleb stayed and fought. He came back a few months later. I was living in Tennessee, but he convinced me to move down here with him, so I did. He had a fiance he was coming back to. They were going to start a life together, but he was so rattled. She found him distant. Too distant. And she ended up calling it off. Said he needed to get help. I agreed. We weren't the same. Not just us, but any of the guys we served with. We didn't know how to just pick up where we left off and act like none of that shit had ever happened, especially those of us who had wounds to show that we were there. Some people I ran into would call me a murderer for even being in that war. I don't know that they were wrong. I guess that's what I am now. Anyway, Caleb would just act funny everywhere he went. Agitated, same as me. He had the nightmares, and he wouldn't see anyone about it. Neither of us would. Then one day, I got a call from his ex-fiance. He was back with his family, and a bunch of them were going fishing. They didn't want him to go since he seemed off. He stayed back at the house. Put a rifle in his mouth. Pulled the trigger with his toe. "Oh my God," I say. That's when I realized I couldn't pretend that everything was okay. That if I didn't do something, I'd end up like him. "I'm so sorry. I can't pretend that none of that shit happened. The world wants me to go on as if I'm okay, but I'm not. And everyone can see that I'm not." He looks down at his shin, running his thumb across the scars. "I'm not even a whole person anymore." "That's not true." "Yes, it is. And every day is just another day I'm scared as hell that I'm about to lose my fucking mind. Which is why I'm scared as shit of hurting you. And it's why I wish it had bothered you more than it did."
"What?"
"Because as much as I know I shouldn't put you in danger like this, as much as it tears me up, I'm so fucking selfish. I don't want this to end."
"Then don't let it end." I lean in and force a kiss. I know that once I reawaken that passion that's between us, he'll realize how stupid he's been for even considering stopping what we have going on. At least, I hope so. As we kiss, What remains of my uneasiness from the attack subsides and is replaced with my total appreciation for getting to share this moment with him. He cups his hand around my head and pulls me even closer so that my nose is pressed up against his cheek. Then he pulls from our kiss and rubs his face alongside mine, breathing in deeply. "What the fuck are we doing?" he asks. "I don't want you to be here because you pity me. I don't need anyone to be here for me. I've been on my own, and I can take care of myself. The only reason I'm here is because of how incredible it feels to be near you. Because I can't get enough. And because I'm terrified that one crazy moment you're going to take yourself away from me. Please don't do that. Life's such shit. But this isn't." He pulls me in close and holds me. It's the most comforting of embraces in the world. Makes me feel like he's protecting me from the entire world. Like it's just the two of us in this little garden.
Chapter 22.
Reese. I was so fucking wrong when I thought I had to give up Jay that night. It's been a month since the anniversary of Caleb's death, and I haven't had an episode like that since. The usual day-to-day things still get to me. I can tell by the look on Jay's face that he's always uneasy whenever there's a loud sound. But something about him being here has made it easier for me to manage. Feels as though at least someone is on standby in case I need help. I'm used to having to deal with it on my own. Be strong. Tough it out through shit. Therapy has obviously helped, but it's not the same as having someone right here with me. Being around him quiets my mind. Not entirely. I know better than to expect that. The rumblings will always be there, and the episodes won't go away. But it's nice having an ally. With our inventory audit completed, I don't have that stress on my plate anymore. And Jay's not only managed to keep his cool, but he's become friendly with his coworkers. I like to think he's chilled out because I'm as good for him as he is for me. Jay spends most of his free time at my place. I haven't even seen the house he lives in because he says it's basically a frat boy's room. But he started bringing clothes over. I made space for him in one of my drawers just 2 weeks ago. Space I hope continues to grow as we spend more time together. We've made dinners together and watched a lot of movies. We both have a thing for over-the-top comedies like Zoolander, Anchorman, and The Other Woman. And he's shown me a few stand-up specials from some of his favorite comedians. So we spend a lot of nights laughing together. Laughing helps scatter those distracting thoughts that come so frequently. I file a few invoices away in my office, playing catch-up on some things I neglected while we were preparing for the audit. Finally, pieces of my world are falling back into place and moving in a positive direction, not just with work, but with my life. Jay and I drove to work separately from my house, and we'll be driving right back once we're finished. Then we'll clean up and mess around. We've already agreed to make chicken parmesan tonight for dinner, and then the rest of the night will take us where it usually does. Back into each other's arms. Back into the bliss that I've come to realize can exist for me once again, even if it is hindered slightly by the echoes from my past. My phone vibrates. It's probably a naughty text from him, like ones we've exchanged a lot more these days. But it's a call. Melanie. Oh. Melanie. A knot twists in my gut. Every time she calls, my guilt consumes me. She hasn't tried to call since the day Caleb passed. I don't feel bad just because she's trying to reach out to me. I feel bad because I know I shouldn't be like this. She deserves better than me ignoring her calls. But especially while things are going so well right now, the thought of letting her invite all those awful feelings back into my life horrifies me. It's what keeps me from responding. I let her call go to voicemail, as I usually do. She deserves better than this. I'm a fucking asshole, and I know it.
There are a lot of things that I regret, but the way I treat her is the one I regret most. Still, I can't bring myself to deal with her any more than I can deal with any number of the things from my past. She leaves another voicemail. I should listen to it. I can't keep deleting them. I call the voicemail.
Hey, Reese.
It's her soft voice. A voice I was so familiar with, one that used to fill me with eagerness and excitement. Now, that voice only conjures up grief and sadness.
I need to talk to you. If you could give me a call back, I would appreciate it.
She sighs. It's the sigh of a woman who's tired. The sound she made when she tried to talk to me during those last months when I was with her. When she just couldn't reach me. I tell myself I'll call her back. But it's a lie. Something will come up. I'll make up an excuse to avoid it like I always do. This is the sort of avoidance we talk about in group sessions and during my time with Laura, but it isn't something I'm ready to face. Not while things are going well in my life. Not when, for the first time in so long, I feel like I have a chance at happiness, a chance at moving on. I'll wait until things settle down and then call her. Although how many times have I said that? There's a knock at the door before it opens and Jay enters. I can't help the smile that stretches across my face. He closes the door behind him, his expression serious. Oh no, I was enjoying him not getting into trouble, and now here he is because something's gone wrong. I hop up from my chair and head around the desk. What's the problem? I ask, frustrated but eager to soothe him. He approaches quickly and kisses me, his lips firmly against mine as he pushes me back against my bookshelf, which rattles against the drywall. My concern about his reason for being here dissolves. I'm glad he's here. Not just in my office right now, but in my life. He breaks our kiss. Nothing's wrong now. You don't know how fucking crazy it's been driving me that you're just sitting up here and I can't do a damn thing to you.
You sure as fuck didn't let that stop you, I say.
He grins and kisses me again. His mouth still tastes like Listerine. He fidgets with my belt, and before I know it, he's unfastened my slacks. No, we can't do this. Not again. But the thrill that I got from that first time when we fucked in the supply closet is too much for me to ignore, and I'd be lying if I said that I didn't want to fuck him right now. He pulls down my pants and grips my hips, urging me to turn my body. I spin around, offering up my ass to him. I glance over my shoulder as he reaches into his back pocket and retrieves a condom and a packet of lube. I eye him suspiciously. Were you planning this? I ask. I didn't trust that I could really make it through the day without getting inside you. He sets the lube and condom on my desk. I remove my shirt and set it on the floor beside me. He strips down and piles his clothes beside my shirt. I return to my position, my jeans at my ankles as I place my hands on the bookshelf. He pushes up against me, his stiff cock sliding vertically into my crack as he pushes it against me. I arch my back and press my ass against his pelvis. He wraps his arms around me and caresses up and down my torso. He kneads my flesh as he kisses along the back of my neck. You feel so fucking good, he says. I just want to be inside you, filling you, making you happy, making you beg for more. Don't leave me hanging like this, just do it. Own this ass, it's yours. He doesn't waste his time. He leaves me for a moment as he prepares his cock with the condom and lube, and then before I know it, I feel that sweet pressure pushing within me. I spread my legs farther apart to invite him in. He's hard. Real fucking hard. I thought I would have been opened up already from all the times he's fucked me, but I must be a little tense today because it's a challenge as he makes his way steadily deeper until his cock is pushed back inside me, filling me, tapping that spot that sends a ripple of ecstasy racing through me. Damn, I say. My nerves feel as though they're swimming in a sea of pleasure. He strokes his hand up then down my side as he starts his work, pulling out and pushing back in. He wraps an arm around my throat and pulls back slightly. He does this sometimes, like he wants to show me just how much he owns me. I love it. Love the way he makes me feel like I'm all his when he fucks me. This ass, this body, they're mine, he says. Not just those, but me too. I'm totally his in this moment. He licks the side of my face like he wants to disrespect my body just for the sake of letting me know he's free to do as he wishes with it. He pushes me against the bookshelf so that my face presses up against one of the wooden shelves as he fills me with his girth. My cheeks spark with heat as he slams into my prostate. The intensity of the sensation forces me to curse through gritted teeth. He starts to slide it out. No, 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 I say, pushing my ass even further back, trying to keep him in, but he pulls out anyway. I've been abandoned, my body aching with dissatisfaction, longing for his cock. I turn around to him, and he leans down, wraps an arm around my legs, and then the other around my back before scooping me up off the floor. He's gotten more adventurous about throwing me around now that he knows I'm not concerned about my prosthesis. You're a strong little fella, I say. He smirks as he carries me to the desk and lays me across it. He lifts my legs, unlaces my shoes, and throws them aside before removing my socks and jeans and throwing them all aside. Take me, Jay. Fuck me good.
Chapter 23
Jay. I raise his legs and push into him. He throws his head back and curses, the veins in his neck tense as he restrains his moans so someone outside won't catch what we're doing, but knowing that anyone could hear us just excites me even more. After I find my rhythm, I lean down and kiss him. He accepts it like he's desperate for my mouth. His kiss is frenzied, his beard soft against my face. I imagine a time with him when this condom won't be necessary, when I can breed him, because I feel that's where we're headed. I hope it is, at least. The thought makes me even harder. I slide my hand up and down his torso. A knock.
Fuck.
I stop. He glances around uneasily, his face bright red, as though the person fucking walked in on us.
Hey, boss?
It's Tyler.
Yeah? We just got this box in that William was asking me about. Says he thinks it was sent back to us from the wrong warehouse. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with it. I'm just finishing something up,
Reese says.
I'll be right out.
The doorknob rattles. Seriously? He's not just gonna go the fuck away? I like Tyler and all now, but don't cock block.
I just have a copy of the label, he says. I was gonna give it to you.
Not until I finish giving you my cock, I whisper.
Leave it on the floor,
Reese says through his teeth.
I need to get this one thing done right now.
His serious tone makes him sound like he's about to chew Tyler's head off if he keeps this up.
Okay. I'll leave it right here. Let me know when you're free so we can sort it out.
I hear his footsteps as he heads away from the door, down the hall. Jesus fucking Christ, Reese says, hitting the back of his head against his desk. I wonder if Tyler killed the mood. But Reese's dick sure didn't get any softer because of the interruption, and I'm still stiff within him, enjoying how tight his hole got when Tyler scared the shit out of him. Still, I don't want to interfere with his job. I start to pull out. Reese grips my wrist and squeezes. He looks back up at me, his expression filled with desire.
You don't need to take care of that, I ask.
He smirks. I told him I had something I had to finish. And I do. The excitement that rushes through me makes me slide into him some more. He takes it, a smile stretching across his face. I can tell by the look in his eyes he wants it even more now than before. I fuck him as hard as I can. He grips the edge of the desk. I pant as sweat drips from my bangs and showers across his chest. I cling to his thighs as I feel myself steadily building to that delightful moment. We're lost in our experience again, and soon he's spewing a thick wad onto his belly, into his navel. I just need another moment, I beg. Take it, he says, his face wrinkled up as he recovers from his own orgasm. I speed up, the pressure in my cock painful until the promise of relief is fulfilled and my body spasms and trembles, the energy racing from my pelvis to my head. It's all-consuming. And it's the sort of hot, ass-fucking sex that makes me so appreciative that I'm lucky enough to get to fuck Reese.
You need to come to dinner one night next week, Tyler says.
I'm surprised by the invitation. What? I ask. We're packing crates of bottles onto pallets in the main warehouse. We were just chatting about the news when he brought up dinner.
I owe you after you did me a solid for that idea for Shelley's birthday party. She's still fucking blown away because I got her friend to come into town. I've been getting action for the past few weeks, and it's all because of you.
You don't have to do all that. It was nothing.
Dude, it's an invitation. Don't be an ass and refuse it.
I'm fucking grinning over it. I'm not used to people being friendly and fucking inviting me to shit. It's nice.
Yeah, I can do that.
It'd be rude for me to say no, but I wish I could bring Reese. This is just a reminder that we're not boyfriends, and that this whole boss-employee thing complicates things even more. It reminds me of when I was younger and guys liked to skirt around the idea of being boyfriends. Seemed like they didn't have a problem being serious with other guys, just not me. I don't think Reese is like that, but I don't fit into his life. He's a hot, successful guy who has so much to offer. I'm trailer park trash without any money. A guy who's never held steady employment. A fuck-up. I accept Tyler's invitation for dinner. After I get off work, I head to the grocery store to pick up ingredients for the chicken parmesan. Reese has to stay at the factory until 6, so I can grab what we need and have everything ready for us to make dinner together as soon as he gets home. As I scan the chicken on a shelf, a young couple holds hands as they pass me, the guy carrying a basket filled with their groceries. They approach the fruits and vegetables and stop before a crate filled with cantaloupe. I keep my eye on them, trying to act like I'm just glancing around. They're in their early 20s, I assume. They remind me of what was running through my head when Tyler invited me to dinner. You're gonna have to pick it out this time, the guy says.
Why?
The girl asks.
Because you have that trick you do.
Oh, that thing Mama taught me? She picks up a melon and hands it to him. He looks at her like she's lost her mind.
Tap it,
she instructs. He obeys.
Listen to it. Does it sound like it's hollow or like it's really solid?
Hollow.
That one's not going to work then.
She takes it from him and places it back in the crate. Then she grabs another.
Try this one.
He does the same thing.
It's like thud, thud, thud.
That one's good then. If it's hollow or too solid, then it won't work.
You're just supposed to hear that light thud.
Well, aren't you just a little genius? He says, lowering the melon from his ear and offering her a gentle kiss. Jealousy wells within me. I wish I could walk around with Reese without being worried people would judge us for being gay. But he might not even want to be in a public place with me, knowing that someone from work could discover us. I don't want to put Reese's job on the line. But we shouldn't have to hide how we feel. I shouldn't be thinking like this, considering we haven't taken things further. We're fuck buddies who like each other a hell of a lot. I haven't wanted to push. Just wanted to be in his life. But considering how things are when we're together, I don't see a reason to pretend that we both don't want to take things to another level, unless he doesn't want that, in which case, I should fucking find out before I get hurt. I chase that thought away. Of course he wants more. But there's a part of me that can't believe anyone would want more from me. After I finish grabbing ingredients for dinner, I head back to the house and start preliminary preparations for our meal. I can't get that couple out of my head. Even though it's only been a month, Reese has to feel the way I do, that this is beyond fucking around. No, there's no question about how we feel. unless he doesn't want people to see that he's with a guy, or, even worse, with some employee who's beneath him, who doesn't have nice things or a house like he does or a good job. That insecurity about me not being good enough for him keeps taking over my thoughts. What if he just wants to keep me as his dirty little secret? What if he's ashamed of me? What if he sees me like all those other guys did, a fun lay, but nothing more? I know what that leads to. How much it hurts when everything falls apart. I don't know if I can do that again, especially the stronger my feelings become for Reese. When he enters the front door and gazes at me with appreciative eyes, my insecurities subside. I don't think he'd have a problem being out with me in public. Surely he'd be fine with others knowing what we have going on. I relax as we prepare dinner together. We share tender kisses during each phase. Kisses that remind me that we've come a long way from just fucking. What we have now means more. So it's not ridiculous for me to assume that we should be able to take things further. We sit down to eat, enjoying our creation as we chat about work and what movie we want to watch tonight. Movies. Homemade dinners. Wonderful as they are, they aren't what I'm reaching for. While he talks about his day, I build up the courage to finally get this off my chest. I was thinking maybe we could go out to see a movie. Tension rises within me. I'm more nervous about bringing this up than I thought I'd be.
Like, out?
He asks, eyeing me. Not like he's excited to share an experience, but like he's worried someone will catch us and make our work life harder. Just like whatever, you know, the way normal people who are starting to see each other do. I see the hesitation in his expression. He clearly isn't a fan of the idea. I suddenly feel rejected. I mean, you have to admit that what's going on here is more than fucking.
Of course, it definitely is, Jay. I know that. I really like you.
Then a date is the next logical step. His gaze shifts about.
Isn't that what this is?
He asks. I want to, like, actually do things with you, you know, out in the real world. Like everyone else does.
He's quiet.
What? I ask. Am I just your office secret?
No. That's not it.
Am I not the kind of guy you want to be seen with?
That's not it at all. Jay, it's just complicated because of work, you know that.
Then I can get another job so we don't violate some company policy or whatever.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. It's not that serious.
We have two supervisors who are now married to people in their chain of command, people they met while they were working with the company. We just have to fill out some paperwork with HR.
Then why can't we do that?
Because it's not just about the company policy.
People aren't going to respect me when they realize you're a faggot.
Is that what you're worried about?
He sighs.
Picks his napkin up from his lap and sets it on the table. That's what this is about, I continue. You like that no one at work really asks about your love life? That you can keep a distance from them? And you think that if they think some fairy is running things, they'll start getting in your face and not respecting you? Admit it.
It's not like you're running around telling people that you're gay.
But I'm not scared of letting people know that I like you either. I stare right at him, but he avoids looking at me. He knows I'm right.
Chapter 24. Reese.
Why is he being like this?
Here we were, having such a lovely evening, and he had to turn it into this argument about making a spectacle of ourselves in public. He's right. I don't want the guys at work to know I'm gay, or that I'm dating an employee, and I don't think I'm wrong thinking they're going to give me shit about it, that they'll respect me less or think I'm showing favoritism towards Jay.
and I don't know how to win this fight. Jay, you know how guys are. I've worked my ass off to get here, and I don't need for everyone to start drama over something that isn't a big deal.
We aren't a big deal?
You know that's not what I mean.
Then what did you mean?
I don't need everyone talking about me behind my back because of some guy that I've been with for a month.
That was harsh. I knew it as the words escaped my lips.
But he's pissing me off by challenging me like this. He's not just some guy to me. But it doesn't seem fair for him to ask me to out myself to the guys in the factory I've been working at for years when he's been there less than 2 months.
That's what you think of us? Jay asks. His face is bright red. Last time I remember seeing him this angry, he was getting into it with William.
No. I'm sorry. I was just...
Fuck you, he says.
He pushes to his feet and heads into the living room. I follow after him.
Jay, don't fucking Jay me! If that's all you think of us, then I want out. I don't need to waste my time chasing some guy who can't admit to people how he feels.
This is about a hell of a lot more than the conversation we just had. I've triggered some defense mechanism within him.
Jay, please.
Calm down.
Calm down? Oh, now you want me to fucking calm down?
His eyes water.
Whatever. I don't need to calm down. I just need to get the fuck out of here.
He approaches the front door, and I'm terrified that, considering how mad he is, if I let him go, he's gonna walk out of my life forever. This is who he is. This is what he does. He runs. I run past him and throw myself between him and the door.
Get out of my way, he says, his body tense as he approaches me.
Just listen to me, Jay. Please.
You've said everything I need to hear.
He's not looking me in the eyes anymore.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be an asshole about this. I was just defensive.
And you are too right now.
You meant what you said, he says.
I'm scared of what people will say. I wasn't making that up.
And I was upset that you were challenging me like it was something I had to do to prove something to you. That's why I got a little snippy about it.
But this is something we can talk through.
You don't have to leave over a fight.
I don't see a reason to stick around when I'm not wanted. The Jay who stands before me isn't the Jay I've spent all this time with. The guy I've laughed with and shared so many wonderful meals with, this guy is rigid, tense, afraid. He refuses to look at me. It seems like if I get too close, he might lash out, do something crazy.
I approach him anyway. I need to get him to lower these defenses. I want my Jay back, the Jay who isn't stubborn and obstinate, the Jay who listens, who understands.
Please, talk to me about this.
I've already played out this script too many times. I'm never the guy people want to be in a relationship with. You know what happened with the first guy I ever fell for? We did this. For 6 months we fucked around. 6 fucking months seems like it would mean something, right? To a dumbass 21-year-old who never had anyone, it sure meant a fucking lot. We made the dinners. He said all the right words and kept me believing there was something there, and then I got a call from a guy telling me to stop seeing his man. That they'd been together for 2 years, so I confronted the asshole who played me, and what did he say? What the fuck did you think this was? We weren't even dating.
I see the hurt in his expression. Hear the pain in his words.
I get it.
I've never been the guy anyone wants to date, he says. I'm a fun fuck. But I guess I'm just such trash that no one could possibly imagine themselves being with me. Everyone wants a piece of the action. But no one gives a shit about how I feel.
I care about how you feel. I want to be with you, Jay.
He studies my face like he's trying to see if I'm lying. Leading him on like that asshole from his past.
You didn't deserve to be treated like that. I continue, by anyone.
You're not trash. I don't see that when I look at you. I don't want you to feel like that. I just didn't think I could do it overnight. That's a big step for me to take at the office. I don't let people in at all. So to be out to them and for them to know I'm seeing my employee, that's a lot all at once. But if you need me to step out of my comfort zone for us, I will. For the first time since he snapped, he seems to relax. I do the only thing I can think of to ease his pain. I kiss him. He tenses up even more as I push on him, shoving him against the wall beside us. He resists for a moment. But then he wraps his arms around me and kisses me in a frenzy. I feel tears rush from his eyes and sweep past my cheeks. They confirm what I've been feeling all this time, that he cares so much about what we've shared. And I'm relieved because it means I haven't been alone in feeling this way. He offers passionate kisses like he's just as glad that we're enjoying a ceasefire together. He needs me right now, needs my support, needs to know how much I care about him. I now realize that's all this has really been about. The only reason he threatened to leave was because he wasn't sure that I was feeling enough for him to want more. But I do want more. Every day that we're together, I realize how much more I want with him. I pull away and gaze into his eyes. He wipes violently at his face like he's ashamed that he cried in front of me. I wouldn't be ashamed to have you as a boyfriend, I say. In fact, I'd love it. You're an amazing guy, Jay. And I haven't met anyone in a long time who I actually want to spend this much fucking time with. Someone I want to get to know. Experience things with. I haven't done this kind of relationship for years, though. A lot of fucking years. So it's just taking me a little bit more time to figure out how to make it work. But I do want to make it work. I press my hand to his cheek and caress my thumb across his flesh. I'm sorry I hurt you tonight, or made you feel like I don't care about you. I'm sorry too, he says. And he sounds like he's returning to his usual self. I know it can't be easy, being in your position, and having to worry about what the guys think. I'd be worried too if I had something to lose. But I've never had much to lose, not for a long time. It just scares the shit out of me that even this might go away. I'd rather get out before it gets too hard, before I get hurt too much. It would be more than I can stand. I know that's what this fight has really been about, because this is the only way he knows how to live. It pains me that he would think I'd do something to hurt him. I'm worried about getting hurt, too, but not for the same reason. It would kill me if I knew that I hurt you in any way, I say. Just like it hurt me seeing you like this tonight. He kisses me again. His kiss soothing what little fear I still had about him leaving. We needed this fight. Eventually, everyone will know what's going on between us. We won't be able to hide it. And I have to face that. I don't like facing a lot of things, but this is one I'm willing to confront if it'll help Jay. If it'll keep him here with me. Which is where he belongs. We take a moment from our kiss. Don't do that to me again, I plead. What? He asks. Scare me into thinking you're just going to walk out of my life forever. I was so lucky to have found you. And to lose you like that would destroy me. I won't always agree with you. But I want to know that if we have a fight, you won't just leave. That's all I know how to do, he says, his lips curling into a wry smile. That's all I've ever done when things have gotten hard. It's taken me a long time to realize that running doesn't solve anything. In some ways, I'll always be running, and I'd be lying if I said I wasn't scared of shit about what we're doing. I'm scared too. I don't want to get close. I fall too hard every time. I rarely let anyone in, but when I do, I'm all the way. So when shit goes south, it's bad. Real bad. I don't want that. But I want this. Us.
That's important to me. And we can do it together. We kiss again, and his fingers slide under my shirt. I break our kiss and tell him, let's not play around anymore then. Be my boyfriend. I want you, Jay. I don't want you to be confused or scared about that. His grin, eager and playful like when he's reading the comics, offers me so much reassurance. I would really like that, he says. More than like that. He chuckles. Seems like a nervous reaction as his eyes water. I'm gonna go to HR tomorrow, just to get ahead of this. They're gonna need us both to sign something about our relationship to cover their asses legally, but they'll keep it confidential. Oh, wow. I thought you said you needed to step outside your comfort zone. Not wave a flag about it around the office. Don't worry. Like I said, it's confidential. Everyone won't know right away. But I want to do this. I think we're worth it. He looks so much more relaxed than he did before. You'd do all that for us. I'm going to do it. He kisses me again. Our passion takes us to the bedroom, as it always does, and we share another night.
Chapter 25.
Jay. It was a lot for me to ask Reese to be totally cool with being out to his employees after being together for such a short time, but last night, his words assured me that all this time together hasn't been for nothing, that he wants to move towards something more. This morning, he went to HR, and they called me in to sign the paperwork that he was talking about. It was just to keep the company from being liable if anything goes south between us. Feels like a big step. Huge. Here we are just now using the term boyfriends, but we're already having to sign forms about it. But I wanted to do it. Better that than to do something that would get Reese into trouble. That was a big step, and I don't need him to scream about our relationship to everyone in the office. I can be patient and give him some time to find a way to bring me into his life in a way that's comfortable for him. It wasn't that I wanted him to be in an awkward position at work. I just wanted to know I wasn't going to spend months or years keeping us this secret I could never share. I couldn't do that. But what am I even thinking? Years with him? How can I already be imagining spending that much time with someone I'm just getting to know? After our fight, I realized I was telling myself that there was something wrong so that I'd try to get out of it, because I'm not used to having something actually working out for me, especially with a guy, and it really does scare me. As I open up to him and build trust in him, I know he can hurt me. That he can break my heart into pieces and leave me even worse off than before I met him. And that terrifies me. I step along a row of shipments, inspecting the pallets to see which ones need extra securing. We've had to be super careful after all the damages we've been dealing with lately. Most of the guys are on the other side of the warehouse, unpacking some of the raw materials that just came in. Reese rounds a corner, coming around some of the packed boxes we're shipping out tomorrow. He has a clipboard in hand and a stern look on his face like he's been dealing with some pretty serious shit all morning. The black button-up he wears fits snugly. And having seen all those muscles, memorized them, I resent that his clothes are covering up all my favorite parts of him. "Mr. Hinson, could I talk to you for a second?" he asks, his expression lit up with amusement. "Feeling playful today, Mr. Klein?" He leans against a box beside me. "I was just going to see if you might be interested in doing something a little different tonight."
"Cosplay?" I tease.
He smirks. "Not exactly. I was thinking we would go out. Catch a movie. You know, like you mentioned last night."
"Really?"
His smile is warm as he says, "I just bought tickets for us for 8 o'clock. Some new Ashley Judd movie with Kristen Stewart and Scarlett Johansson."
I think the fact that you called it an Ashley Judd movie lets me know exactly how old you are. He laughs.
Whatever.
What's it about?
Ashley Judd blackmails Kristen Stewart into working for her football player nephew as his bodyguard, but his ex, Scarlett Johansson, is trying to weasel her way back into his life.
Really?
Who's a football player nephew? Zac Efron?
That's who you lead with. If I thought I was going to be watching Kristen Stewart and Scarlett Johansson duking it out for 2 hours, I'd be like, hell no. But just the possibility of seeing Zac Efron take his shirt off, I'm fucking in. He beams.
Good. I figure we can grab something to eat on the way.
Look at you, I say.
You know you don't have anything to prove, right? I'm not looking to prove anything.
He glances around and steps away from the box.
I just think you deserve someone who wants to show you off. And I want to show you off.
He kisses me, a gentle kiss at first, but he wraps his arm around me and pulls me close. I enjoy the sensations that race through me. He sure does know how to make up with a guy. After we get off work, we swing by McDonald's for some burgers, scarf them down, and head on to the theater, AMC at Phipps Plaza. We recline in the red cushioned chairs, keeping a tub of popcorn between us. I keep waiting for others to arrive, but after the movie begins, we quickly realize we're the only ones here.
Did this movie get the worst reviews ever, or what? I ask.
Right? I pull up Rotten Tomatoes on my phone and see that it has a 2.3 rating.
Oh, fuck. I show him the page.
Shit. I should have checked.
You kidding? I asked. I'm kind of even more excited about seeing it now.
The movie's horrendous, but in the best possible way, keeping us laughing all the way through it. And that no one else is here makes the experience even better, since we're able to make fun of it the way we would if we were lounging on his couch. As we leave the theater, I'm in tears from laughing so hard at Reese's impression of Zac Efron in a scene where Kristen Stewart had to give him CPR after he tried to eat 10 fire-hot buffalo wings that he thought were going to rupture his stomach.
I can't believe that just happened, I say.
I know. We'll have to go to the movies more often. We exchange a look. I see the eagerness in his eyes, and I can tell that he really would enjoy getting to share another movie with me.
Boss man?
I recognize the voice, and we both turn sharply. Tyler heads toward us, holding a bag of popcorn as he walks beside a woman I assume is his wife, Shelley, two kids tail behind them.
Shit.
We were having such a good time, so of course something had to come and fucking ruin it.
Hey,
Reese says uneasily. As Tyler glances between us, I realize why I shouldn't have pushed for this. There's a knowing look in Tyler's eyes. It's clear he's not confused about what's going on between us. And I'm worried as ever. It's nice knowing Reese can't lose his job over it, but it sucks that Tyler could tell the other guys, and they could give him hell.
Sorry,
he says, after an extended pause.
Reese, Jay... This is my wife, Shelley. Jay, I know I invited just you, but both you guys can come to dinner next week if you want,
he says. And I'm stunned. Who would have thought that the guy I had the most issues with when I first started working at the warehouse would be the most understanding about who we are? I keep checking Reese's expression as we talk, and gradually he starts to relax. And so do I. When Tyler and his wife continue to their movie, I glance at Reese uneasily. I'm curious to see what he thinks about what just went down.
All good? I ask.
Wasn't as bad as I thought it would be,
he admits.
But now we have to have our first dinner as a couple.
Damn.
I'm sorry it's going to be going around the office, though. I assume Tyler will tell some of the guys, so even though he's okay with it, the guys who aren't will find out and probably give Reese a hard time about it. Not only will they potentially think less of him for being gay,
but they'll wonder if I'll receive unfair treatment because of our relationship, all those things Reese was worried about. I wait for him to acknowledge his concern on our way to the car, but he changes the subject back to the movie. Clearly, he doesn't want to consider the consequences of what just happened, which I totally understand. We head to his place, discussing the movie some more, chuckling as we talk about some of the funniest parts. He parks at a frozen yogurt shop. "What are you doing?" I ask.
"Treating my man the way he deserves to be treated."
I'm blushing. Oh my fucking God, I'm blushing. He's seriously bringing me out to get frozen yogurt. How much more adorable can Reese be? We head in and order. He gets strawberry with almonds and fudge while I get some peanut butter with fudge and cookies and cream.
"No toppings for you?"
he asks as we sit at a small table in the shop. "You're the only top I need." He fights the smile, but I've clearly earned it. He takes a bite of his combo. "That's an interesting mix you have there," I say. "Strawberry and chocolate anything is fine by me. And you know I like nuts." He winks. "I bet you do." "I'm sorry about Tyler."
"I needed this to happen. To show me that it's not the end of the world.
Even if he says something to the guys at work, I'll live. Plus, there's no reason to keep it from anyone. I already keep enough shit from people as it is." "So are these the kinds of dates you usually take guys on?" I ask, trying to change the subject.
"It's been a long time since I've been with anyone. Even flirted with the idea like this."
"Oh, come on. There had to be others."
"Not really. Considering the PTSD, I never felt comfortable letting things go far. I've tricked out plenty, but you know, this hasn't been an easy thing to deal with. Still isn't. And I've never thought it was fair to drag someone else into my life."
I reach out and grab his arm. "You know you're not burdening me, right?" But I can tell by the apprehension in his expression that he does.
"Jay, I don't need you pretending that this isn't stressful for you. You didn't sign up for this."
"I did. In fact, I knew before I even started liking you that this was part of the package, so I eagerly signed up for it." My words don't seem to bring him any relief.
"Since you brought it up, I think it's only fair that I should mention that you haven't seen the worst of it yet. And it's coming. It's always coming. One day, I'm going to wake up, and it's not going to be easy to manage, and it's going to hurt you when that happens. I love having you here with me. It makes me feel amazing, and in some ways I think it helps, but I'm not naive. And I know that nothing can make this go away. And it's not your job to make it go away.
I've done enough research to know that this isn't going to magically disappear, Reese. You gotta give me some credit.
I just don't want to wake up one day and find out that I'm the reason you're unhappy."
The despair in his tone is like a knife in my fucking heart.
"God, I sure know how to ruin a fucking date, don't I?" he says.
"Reese, I'm not some fragile guy who needs you tiptoeing around him. I can handle this. And we can push through it together."
"It just scares me because I really don't think you can understand until it happens, until one day I'm caught up in it and you don't even recognize me."
"For me, they've just been moments. Moments when it feels like Reese isn't really there. Where I'm wondering where he's gone."
"I don't think you realize how lonely it can feel," he adds.
"I'm sure it feels awful."
"Not for me. For anyone near me."
Now I understand what he's getting at.
"It's like I'm drowning, and then someone's coming out to save me, but I just pull them under with me so that we're both suffering, so that neither of us can breathe. I don't want to hurt you like that."
"Who did you hurt like this?" Because I know that's what this is really about.
"Someone I loved. Someone who loved me. Someone who it was too much for.
Well, it's not going to be too much for me, I insist, though I can tell he doesn't believe me, that he's still scared. You gotta give us a chance, Reese. I've got my reasons for being scared it won't work, and so do you. But I care about this, and so do you.
I know. I am trying.
But as we both get more invested in this, that's what keeps playing on my mind.
Well, then maybe you need to fill your mind with sexier things, I tease, and he chuckles. All those comedy shows really come in handy, don't they?
Sometimes. And when they don't, I can just put on something sexy and distract you that way.
His gaze sharpens. Something about what I said stirred a thought.
What? I ask.
Do you have something you'd want me to wear? Jockstrap, maybe?
He rolls his eyes.
Nothing. No.
But I can tell by the way he says it that he isn't being honest. Now, I'm curious. But I let it slide. We finish our frozen yogurt before heading back to the house, some Louis C.K. diffusing the tension from the conversation we had about his PTSD. When we get back to his place, we wind up on the bed, making out. We lie on our sides, groping each other's bodies.
Tell me what you want, Reese, I say between kisses.
I'm thinking about that look he had when I mentioned me wearing something sexy.
You,
he replies. Good answer, but no. Tell me your fantasy. I saw that look when I talked about wearing something sexy. What is it? What can I do to serve you? I feel so close to him right now. All I want is to fulfill his desires, to make him happy the way he's made me happy.
He pulls away and glances me up and down like he's itching to say something to me. I'm intrigued.
I just want to make my boyfriend happy, I say. The sex we have is great, but I mean, we all have little kinks, things we don't typically disclose right away. I want to know what yours are. I want to get to know you in every possible way.
I see something in his gaze that suggests he's got a kink he's eager to explore.
What? I ask. He shakes his head.
Nothing.
That obviously wasn't a nothing. What do you want?
He hesitates before saying, there is one thing I'd be curious to try.
What is it?
Water sports? Roman showers?
He cringes. Oh God, no. Nothing like that.
Just show me, then, I say slowly, hoping he can tell just how game I am to explore his fantasy with him. And I'll show you how good I can be to my boyfriend.
Chapter 26 Reese.
We shower up together and brush our teeth. I told him I'd show him after we cleaned off, but I can't believe I'm even considering this. He won't fucking understand. Who the hell would? God, this is what I get for watching so much porn. I knew when I stumbled across my little fetish that it was wrong, but I can't deny that it'd be hot as hell if Jay was game. But I think he's just going to call me a freak and wig out about it. I shouldn't show him this. But I want to explore it with Jay. I want to take him in the way I crave. In the way I hunger for. We had such a good night, I actually confronted my fear of the guys at work discovering what we're up to, so in a way, I feel more vulnerable than ever, ready to take on yet another challenge, ready to embrace this desire within me. Once we're cleaned up, we kiss and nip at each other, rub each other's dicks a bit. I strap into my hands-free crutch and we head into the bedroom. I put on my liner, followed by my regular prosthesis, not being shy about it with Jay. Nowadays, I don't even feel shy about asking him where I left it if I happen to lose track of it. When I've secured it to my residual limb, I say, just sit on the bed while I get it out. He jumps on top of the comforter and runs his hand through his hair, which is still a little wet from the shower. I head to the closet and push my way through the luggage on the shelf before retrieving an unlabeled white box from the back. I'm already blushing just thinking about sharing this with Jay. As I turn back around, revealing the box, Jay eyes it with interest. I hand it to him. I want him to see for himself, decide if this is really a path he wants to go down with me. He pulls the lid off and looks inside, wincing. It's stupid. I shouldn't have said anything. I grab the box, but he grips onto it.
Just wait a second,
he says, snatching it back. What was I fucking thinking? He reaches in and pulls out the fuchsia-colored woman's thong with vine lace print across it. He grabs the strap on either side and holds it before him, studying it, as though he's not sure what he's supposed to do with it. Of course, it seems pretty fucking obvious. His gaze shifts to me. You want me to put this on? He asks. I mean, you don't have to. It's just something I've always wanted to experiment with. Have other guys worn this? He looks disgusted. Oh, God, no. I ordered that online. I watch a lot of porn where guys wear panties, and I just thought, I don't know. I kind of wanted to get it. Have you worn it? No. I'm more turned on by another guy wearing it.
Oh,
so you thought you'd just meet some little trick who'd be eager to prance around in this for you? I cover my face with my hand. Why did I fucking bring this out? I guess I was hoping that one day I'd meet someone who would be interested in wearing it, but never have. Or, at least, I've never had the balls to bring it up until tonight. He studies it some more, and I reach for it again. This was a stupid idea, just forget it. He pulls it out of my grasp. I mean, it's weird, he says. Like, you know that, right? You're not making this less awkward. His lips twist down and he tilts his head. Won't kill me to give it a try. My dick shifts as I imagine his balls trapped behind the lace. After he notices my expanding girth, he stands up and steps into the thong. He has this apprehensive expression on his face, and for some reason, that's almost as hot as him wearing it. He pulls it up over his